Let's take our Bibles and be turning to the book of Joshua tonight, Joshua chapter 1, if you would please. Page 259, if you need a page number to find Joshua, Joshua chapter 1. Thank you, dear, for that song tonight. Thank you, Jordan, for the song that you sang earlier this evening. What a beautiful song that was. Thank the Lord for the good music today, Mrs. Silas, and what a blessing. And we thank you so much for helping us out with that, coordinating those things, and folks that sang for us here today. Joshua chapter 1 in your Bibles. I hope you've come tonight, R&R, rested and ready. You're supposed to take that nap this afternoon so you'd be rested, all right? Ready means that you've got to have that Bible open. You've got to have something to write on and something to write with, all right? If you don't have something to write on and something to write with, you're not ready. So look around, see if you can borrow, beg, borrow, don't steal, all right? And ask somebody if you can have something there to write some things on tonight. So rested and ready to go tonight in Joshua chapter 1 in your Bibles. In just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to read the first 9 verses of Joshua chapter 1. And then I want to bring a message tonight that I've titled 5 Keys to Successful Conquering. 5 Keys to Successful Conquering. Now, this is something we're all going to need in our lives in this year. We want to be successful in conquering the things that we need to conquer this year. I like the book of Joshua because the book of Joshua really relates to the Christian life. You know, Joshua, if you were to sum up the book of Joshua, you could use 2 words. And one would be the word conflict, and the other would be the word conquest or conquer. And that's exactly what Joshua's all about. As they went into the promised land, they were going to have a lot of conflict. Had a lot of folks in there that they needed to defeat and drive out of the land. And the Lord, as long as they followed the Lord and were obedient to the Lord would bless them with conquest and victory and with conquering. And the Christian life is just sort of like the book of Joshua. In our Christian lives, we have a lot of conflict, do we not? The flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the what? Flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. So we experience a lot of conflict in our Christian life, struggles, if you would please, in our Christian lives. In our hearts, we know what we want to see done. We know what we would like to see accomplished, but boy, many times we just struggle having that come to pass. And just really pictures for us, typifies for us the Christian experience. And yet, in this, we can conquer. We can go on and experience victory in our Christian lives. And the Promised Land is really a picture of the victorious Christian life. So tonight, from Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, I want to share with you 5 keys to successful conquering. We want to conquer this year, so we want 5 keys to successful conquering. If you've got your Bibles up on the stand for the scripture reading, we'll begin reading in verse 1. You just follow along in your Bibles, please. And then we'll pray in a moment and get started. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even into the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and of the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have a good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." We're going to pray and ask the Lord's blessing upon his word tonight. And as we bow together in prayer in just a moment, every head bowed and every eye closed, Let's think about what the Lord's given us thus far today. This morning we were thinking about living in the valley of decision. Do you realize that's where we live every day of our lives? Every day of our lives we make decisions. They're either going to be right decisions or wrong decisions. They can bring us blessing or they can bring us cursing. They can take us to the mountain of mercy or they can take us to the mountain of misery. Think about that, because every choice you make tomorrow and the day after and the day after and the day after, it's either going to take you close to the Lord or it's going to take you further away from the Lord. Stop and think about that. Tonight we've already heard about the kind of soil that we need to be for God to work in. It takes good soil. The problem is not with God. God's eager to work in our lives. God's eager to show himself strong on our behalf. God is eager to do some wonderful things in our lives. The problem is not with the Lord. The problem is with us. The soil is not yielded. It's not moldable. It's not teachable. It's not given over to the Lord and saying, Lord, I want to bear fruit for you. And now we come tonight and we think about what would it take us to have some success in conquering some things in our lives that really need to be conquered. Stop and think about it. Think about those stubborn habits that have a hold of your heart. Think about those ways that take you down that wrong path. Think about perhaps some sin that's really got a hold of you. Say, Lord, I need some successful conquering tonight. Father, we come before you. We want to think about, Lord, what you've been speaking to our hearts this morning about and tonight already about. Lord, the decisions that we make in our lives ultimately are going to determine blessing or cursing. You're a great God. You've given us a choice. It's ours. We can't blame anyone but ourselves. You are a God that desires to pardon. Lord, if we don't come to you for pardon, we will be punished. You're a God that wants to bless. Lord, if we don't choose your ways, we'll find the curse. Lord, you really want us to have joy in our lives, not misery. Walking in disobedience brings to our lives. Lord, I pray that we would leave here today more conscious of the decisions that we'll make tomorrow. I thank you for the challenge that Pastor Silas has shared from the Word of God about the kind of soil that we are. Lord, many times it's that thorny soil. We just let the thorns grow up. So we get taken up with the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, material things, instead of yielding ourselves as good ground. And now, Lord, as tonight we think about five keys to successful conquering, I pray, Lord, that this would not be something that we would just take and put on paper. Father, that we would live it out in our lives. That we would have a desire, Lord, to want to live the victorious Christian life throughout this year. Not be so defeated, Lord, by discouragement. So defeated by sin, so defeated by the devil, but Father, that we would take the steps that we need to take to have successful conquering in our own lives. Speak to our hearts, Lord. We need to hear from you. Lord, we need you tonight. Father, may you speak to us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want you to understand this evening as we look in Joshua chapter 1 verses 1 through 9 that the Lord really was speaking to Joshua in these first 9 verses of this chapter, and the Lord had Joshua's good and success at heart and in mind. Joshua was God's chosen instrument to take over the leadership from Moses. We see in verse 1 that the Bible says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord." So Moses is dead. The servant of God. And when one servant dies, God needs another servant to take his place. So he found Joshua. God says in verse 2, "Moses, my servant, is dead." And he says to Joshua, "Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan." That was God's call upon Joshua's life. "Joshua, I want you to take Moses' place. I want you to have the leadership of the nation of Israel." And then the Lord begins to speak to him in this chapter about things that he would need to do as they were going into the Promised Land, because taking the Promised Land, regardless of what some of our hymn writers have written about. I'm bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. How many of you sung that before? Huh? Right? And when we sing that hymn, what are we thinking about? We're thinking about heaven, right? And yet, the promised land is not a picture of heaven. If the promised land were a picture of heaven, that would mean that after we get to heaven, we've got battles to fight. I'm glad when I get to heaven, the battle's gone. Aren't you? The promised land, more than a picture of heaven, is a promise of the victorious Christian life. And as Joshua would need to lead the children of Israel into the promised land and drive those seven nations out that were there, that God said up front, they are stronger and mightier than you. You feel that way about those habits in your life? You feel that way about those thoughts in your life? You think of that way about those desires that you have in your life? Well, they're a lot bigger than I am, a lot stronger than I am. And yet God tells Joshua, here's what you can do to find success. There's not a one of us here tonight that has to be defeated in our Christian lives. If we'll but follow the steps and the plan that God gives to Joshua. It's a picture of the Christian life. And what we find here in these first 9 verses is God's plan for how we can have victory rather than defeat. Now, as we go through this, I want you to jot down the ideas. 5 keys to successful conquering. Number 1, remember God's call upon your life. Remember God's call upon your life. In the context of the passage, we would say Joshua's call came in verse 2. When God said to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan. Okay, Moses is off the scene. Joshua, I want you to take over the leadership. I want you to follow in his steps and his path. And I want you to recognize that you are my man for the hour. So in verse 2, we really have God's call upon Joshua's life. He's the one who got the call from the Lord. For those of us here tonight who know the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior, we can say on the basis of Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13 that we have been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's own dear Son. The very moment we came to place our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we became children of the King. And I like to sing that hymn, I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. And we need to recognize that every day of our lives and every day of our existence, some of the words of the hymn go something like this. I may have some of them wrong. I didn't look the hymn up. And so I don't really trust my memory too well, but it says something like this. My father is rich in with houses and lands. He holdeth the wealth of the world in his hand. Of rubies, of diamonds, of silver and gold, his coffers are full. He has riches untold. And then the chorus says, I'm a child of the King, a child of the King. With Jesus my Savior, I'm a child of the King. Now, when we became a child of the King, a call from God came upon our lives. Everyone here tonight has been called of God. And that call that came upon our lives was the call to be a follower of Jesus Christ. To become one of the Lord's disciples. Take your Bibles real quickly. Go with me to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, I'll share this with you just briefly and quickly here this evening. We won't have time to turn to all the Bible references here tonight, but I want you to get this. In Matthew chapter 28, the Lord Jesus Christ gives the Great Commission to his disciples right before ascending up into heaven, page 1044. 1044. And at the heart of the Great Commission in Matthew's Gospel is this call upon our lives to be followers of Jesus Christ, to be the Lord's disciples. In Matthew chapter 28, notice how the Great Commission is expressed here. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, the Bible says, go ye therefore, now look at this, and what's the next word? Teach all what? Nations. If you were to look that word teach up in your concordance, you would find that the idea there is go you therefore into all the world and disciple all nations. What are we to become after we're saved? Disciples of the Lord. We're to be followers of Christ. You see, that's the call of God upon our lives. And as Joshua was preparing to go into what would mean a lot of battles, God was saying, Joshua, just carry with you the assurance that you're called of me. And we as God's people, as we go through a lot of battles in 2012, because in this life, that's what we're going to have. We're going to have battles. Let's remember that we have been called to be disciples. We've been called to be followers of Jesus Christ. And when we remember our calling, going into conflicts that we have in life, sometimes it makes the battle a whole lot easier. Let me illustrate. Take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, if you would please. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Unfortunately, we are living in an age where a lot of Christians today are battling with an issue of what the Bible terms fornication. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, if you would please. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. The word fornication, as it's used in the New Testament, would include all kinds of immoral type of activity. And you know as well as I do that because of today's world, with the internet, with television, with movies, with magazines, with all the types of media that's out in the world today, there's a lot of immoral filth that is constantly being paraded at us. It's not that you have to purposely go seeking it in the world that we live in today. It's there. I mean, you can't even go to the grocery store without having some type of exposure to some of the filth and immoral decay of our world. The Bible would call that fornication. Just a word that includes all kinds of immoral activity, not just premarital sexual activity. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it addresses that issue. And in verse 15, it says this. It says, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Have you forgotten? Your body is part of who? Christ. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? Should I, as a member of Christ, go out and commit immorality? The answer is, God forbid. You see, if you remember who you are, and you remember what you are, I'm a child of the King. I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what? I don't really have any business looking at that magazine. And I really don't have any business watching that movie. And I don't really have any business allowing this immoral filth into my living room on this television because I am a follower of Jesus Christ. Verse 16 says, what? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined in the Lord is one what? We belong to God. We belong to the Lord. So verse 18 tells us this. What posture are we to take? We're to flee fornication. We're to flee immoral activity. We're not to feed it. We are to run from it. We are to flee from it. Every sin that a man doth is without his body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Verse 19, what? Know you not? Don't you even realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Don't you realize you've got the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, living inside of you? You have of God, you're not your own. Verse 20, for you're bought with a what? Price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. The first key to successful conquering in life is to remember God's calling upon our lives. We're not all battling the battle of immorality, and I understand that. I'm just using an illustration of how if you remember your calling, remember who you are, remember the one you are following, that helps us in this battle to say no. What business do I have of being here as a child of God? Have you ever gotten somewhere where you all of a sudden you realize, wait a minute, I sure shouldn't be in a place like this? Ever experienced? You ever had that experience? And you say, man, I don't belong here. This is just not where I belong. This is not where I ought to be. Or somebody's reading a magazine sitting next to you on a plane. Or looking at something else on a plane. And you say, well, wait a minute now. Wait a minute. That's not where my mind needs to go. That's not where my eyes need to drift. That's not where my thoughts need to be. Why? I belong to the Lord. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. You see, if we're going to have successful conquering in life, and the truth of the matter is, in this year, there are going to be some things that we're going to need to conquer. We don't want to become the victims. We want to be the victors. You got that? We don't want to be the victims. We want to be the what? Victors. And when that temptation comes our way and that struggle comes our way, we've got to remind ourselves of God's calling upon our lives. Hey, I'm a child of the King. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And as a child of the King and a follower of Jesus Christ, hey, there's some things I just want to stay away from. Some paths I want to go a different way. Choose a different direction. Go back to Joshua chapter 1, if you would please. The first thing God did to Joshua was remind him of his calling. The second thing we must do, write it down if you would please, remember God's call upon your life. Number two, reflect upon the promises of God. Reflect upon the promises of God. Because you see, the second thing that God does with Joshua here is he reminds him of some promises. How would you feel if God took you and put you in the shoes of Moses? And now God said, okay, you're the man. You lead the children of Israel. Whoa. Would that not have been an overwhelming experience? To think about now God has placed you in the very shoes of Moses and God is counting on you to lead the children of Israel to victory in the promised land. And so God is encouraging Joshua here. He's preparing Joshua for that time, and he says, Joshua, I want you to reflect upon my promises. In verses 3 through 5, he gives him three promises. Notice, if you would please, in verses 3 and 4, first of all, the assurance of the fact that the land was theirs. Notice he says in verse 3 and 4, he says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness in this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. So the Lord reassures Joshua, reminding him of the promise that the land was theirs. Now we'll not turn back there tonight, but in Genesis chapter 17, in verse 8, God had given this land to Abraham. And he said, this will be your land for all generations. So it was a land that had been promised to the children of Israel. That's why we call it the promised what? Land. They're just going to take the land that God had already promised to give them. And so here the Lord is reminding Joshua of the promises. And he's saying, Joshua, you've got to reflect upon this. You've got to think about this. This land that you're going into, I've already promised it to Abraham. I've already given it to you. It is your land to possess. Then at the beginning of verse 5, he gives them the promise of the assurance of victory. Notice at the beginning of verse 5, it says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Oh boy, if I'd have been a Joshua, I sure like that promise. Nobody's going to defeat you. Nobody's going to be able to stand before you. God was giving him the assurance of victory. And then thirdly, notice if you would please, at the end of verse 5, he was giving him the assurance that the Lord was going to be with him and be on his side. Notice it goes on in verse 5, he says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Had Joshua known how the Lord had been with Moses? Sure, because Joshua had been Moses' minister, Moses' servant, his right-hand man. He had observed firsthand how the Lord had been with Moses. And now God says to Joshua, as I have been with Moses, so am I going to be with thee. And notice what he goes on to say at the end of verse 5. He says, I will not what? Fail thee. And he says, nor what? Forsake thee. I'm not going to fail you, and I'm going to forsake you. Now listen carefully. God has given us promises in his word to help us. We've got some things that we need to conquer. Not only do we have some things we need to conquer individually in our own individual lives, as a church, as a group, we've got some things that I believe that God would have us to conquer in this coming year. One of the big things that we want to see the Lord do for us this year is enable us to remodel this facility that we're sitting in. Our carpet is worn out. We'll clean it in a week or so, but it's not going to look real good once we get it clean. It needs to be replaced. The woodwork down the hallway is all dinged up. Sometimes it's been painted when it oughtn't to be painted. It's not a real good testimony when people come through the doors of our church and visit for the very first time. We want them to look at our facilities and say, these are people that really care about the Lord. And they take care of what they have. We don't have to be the fanciest facilities in town. In fact, we won't be, and we aren't. But we want the things that we have to look nice and represent the Lord well. There'll be some challenges along the way, some things that we'll want to accomplish. The promised land in the book of Joshua, as I've already pointed out, was a type or a picture of the victorious Christian life. And if you're going to have victory in your Christian life, there's going to be battles that will have to be fought. And in fighting those battles, we're to reflect upon the promises of God. We don't have to live defeated Christian lives. God says in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What does he say? Walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Romans, if you would please. Romans chapter 8. Oh, Joshua will come back. But go with me to Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, notice, please, in Romans chapter 8, chapter 13, Romans chapter 13, not chapter 8, Romans chapter 13, in verse 11, in Romans chapter 13, in verse 11, the Bible says this, starting in verse 11, page 1207, Romans chapter 13, in verse 11, the Bible says, And knowing the time, that now is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. That's true for all of us, isn't it? The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore, the Bible says, we're to cast off the works of what? Darkness. What are we to put on? The Bible says, we're to put on the what? Armor of light. There's some of us here tonight that have some works of darkness that need to be cast off out of our lives. We need to arm ourselves with light and put on the armor of light. The Lord goes on to say this in verse 13. He says, let us walk how? Honestly in the day. Not in rioting. You know what the word rioting means? It means carousing. Drunkenness. Not in chambering, which would be immorality. And wantonness. That means lust without shame. Not in strife and envying. Verse 14. Get it, please. But put ye on who? The Lord Jesus Christ. Are you putting Christ on in your life every day? But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. And look what it goes on to say. And make not provision for the what? Of the flesh, to fulfill the lust or the desires thereof. Yes, can I really have victory over my flesh? Yes. Can I really have victory over sin? Yes. Can I really have victory over the habits that have gotten a hold upon my life? I mean, they've just sort of strangled me like an octopus. They've got their tentacles around me, and I've just got habits that I developed, and I just don't seem to be able to break those things. Hey, the Bible says I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Doesn't say I can do some things. Says I can do how many things? All things through Christ, which strengthens me. The second key to successful conquering is to reflect upon the promises of God. Reflect upon the promises of God. Number three, going back to the book of Joshua, in Joshua chapter 1. The third key is that we've got to resolve to be strong and have good courage. We've got to resolve to be strong and have good courage. Notice, if you would please, in verse 6. Three times in this passage of Scripture, in these nine verses, three times the Lord tells Joshua to be strong and of good courage. In verse 6, he says, be strong and of good what? Courage. You see that? Read that with me, please. Verse 6 says, be what? Strong and of good what? Courage. And then notice, if you would please, in verse 7, he says, only be thou what? Strong and very what? Courageous. And then down in verse 9, he says, have not I commanded thee? Be what? Strong and of good what? Courage. You know, as you just read those first nine verses in this book, all of a sudden you begin to realize God is saying to Joshua, Joshua, you gotta be strong. And you gotta have some courage in your lives. Over in the book of Haggai, we find a similar statement. Take your Bibles and turn there, if you would, please. Page 963, if you need a page number. Haggai chapter 2. It's one of the minor prophets. And look with me, if you would please, where we find this expression in the book of Haggai, page 963, if you have a Scofield Reference Bible. In Haggai chapter 2, look down with me, if you would please, in Haggai chapter 2, in verse 4. In Haggai chapter 2, in verse 4, the Bible says this, yet now be what? Strong. Now God's speaking to Zerubbabel. Look what he says. He says, yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be what? Strong. O Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. Here in Haggai chapter 2, in the context of the book, the Jewish temple needed to be rebuilt. It was laying in ruins. And God was calling upon, first of all, Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was the political leader of the time. And God was saying to Zerubbabel, the political leader, the head political leader, Zerubbabel, hey man, you got to be strong. Then he speaks to a man by the name of Joshua, not the same Joshua which we're reflecting upon from the book of Joshua tonight, a different Joshua. That Joshua was the spiritual leader. So he says to the political leader, be strong. He says to the spiritual leader, be strong. Then he calls upon the people and he says to the people, hey, you've got to be strong. Why? Look at what he says. He says, for the work is what? Great. Saith the Lord, and work. Be strong and what? Work. Now we need to be strong and work at our Christian lives. The threshold of a brand new year, there's so much potential that is setting before us that we so waste. We so waste. You know, I can stand here tonight and I can look at our young people and say, you know, our hearts for you is that you have God's very best in your life. Your parents would say the same thing. Your Sunday school teacher would say the same thing. Your deacon would say the same thing. Your Christian friends would say the same thing. We want God's best for your lives. And the devil's out to ruin it. And I can stand here tonight and I can say the very same thing for every adult here tonight. I want God's best for your life. And the devil's out to ruin it. He's out to wreck it. And what's God trying to say to us here? Man, we've got to be strong. We've got to have courage. We've got to face the battles in our lives and not allow the devil to defeat us and not succumb to the temptations that come our ways in life. But we've got to rally and we've got to be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, please. Page 1255. We're thinking about keys to successful conquering tonight. You'll not be successful in conquering much of anything if you're just a weak Christian. If you don't have courage to fight the battle. If you just give up and say, well, you know, that's the way it is. No, it doesn't have to be that way. It can be different. In Ephesians chapter 6, notice the Bible says this. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, the Bible says, finally, my brethren, look at it, please. Be strong where? In the Lord and in the power of His what? Might. If we try to fight our battles in our own strength, we'll be defeated every time. But if we'll go to battle in the power of the Lord, it's a whole different story. In Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10, the Lord says this. He says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. He says, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Joshua, you've got to be strong. You've got to have some courage. I'm mindful of 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. We're going to conquer our battles. We've got to resolve to be strong and have good courage. Go back to with me, if you would please, to Joshua chapter 1. The fourth key that I give you tonight is remain close to the Lord. Remain close to the Lord. We see that in verses 7 and 8 of Joshua chapter 1. And really, that is the whole thrust of Joshua chapter 1 and verses 7 and 8, is that, Joshua, you've got to stay close to the Lord. You've got to stay close to the Lord. And as we begin to read verse 7, I want you to notice how Joshua was to be committed to explicit obedience to God. Notice verse 7, it says this, only be thou strong and very courageous that thou mayest observe to, key word, to what? To do. To do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. And he says to Joshua, he says, now Joshua, don't turn from it to the right hand or to the what? Left. He says that you just got to stay focused and stay obedient to the Lord and do what you know God tells you to do in His Word. He says that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. He wasn't to swerve from God's instruction in His Word one iota. Don't turn to the left. Don't turn to the right. Keep yourself focused upon obeying God. If God says it, resolve to do it. Sort of sounds sort of simple, doesn't it? God says it, I'm going to what? I'm going to do it. But how many of us know what God tells us to do? And we don't do it. The Lord says, I've set before thee blessings and cursings. We have Mount Gerizim on the south. We have Mount Ebal on the right. Which one's it going to be? The choice is ours. Joshua was to be reflective upon the Word of God. He was to meditate upon the Word of God, praying over it, making it a part of his very core of his life, his being. Notice verse 8, if you would please. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Joshua, just stay focused on the Word and think about the Word and meditate on the Word of God, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way what? Prosperous. And then, Joshua, you'll have good what? Success. Joshua, you're not going to find victory if you don't keep yourself close to the Lord. I like the verse over in the book of James which says, if we'll draw nigh to God, He will what? draw nigh to us. It's not that we can't keep ourselves close to the Lord. We can. We can seek Him every day. We can turn to His Word every day. We can pray every day. We can meditate upon the Word of God, the things that we read in the Word of God every day. We can resolve that we're going to live a life of obedience, that whatever the Lord says, we're just going to do every day. And God said to Joshua, Joshua, if you'll do that, whatever you're going to do, it's going to prosper. It'll have my blessing upon your life. My friend, the same is true for us. Those two verses in Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 and 8 remind me of the first three verses of Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the seat of the sinners, or standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water, that bringeth forth its fruit in its season, and whatsoever he doeth shall what? Prosper. You know, it also reminds me of John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5, where Jesus told his disciples to abide in him. He says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And Jesus said, for without me, ye can do what? Nothing. Successful conquering. What's it take to successfully conquer our battles? We've got to remain close to the Lord. We've got to stay close to the Lord. Can't drift far away from the Lord and be successful in conquering your battles. You won't. You experience defeat. And then the fifth thing that God says to Joshua, it's found in verse 9. And the fifth thing that he says is he says, I want you to realize that no matter what you're called upon to face, I'm always going to be with you. I'm always going to be with you. We don't know, going into 2012, what we are going to be called upon to face. We don't know what this year will hold. And we sure need the Lord. We need to realize that no matter what comes our way in 2012, the Lord will always be with us. Notice verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God, look at it now, the Lord thy God is where? With thee, whithersoever thou what? Thou goest. Joshua, be strong. Joshua, have good courage. Joshua, don't be dismayed. Don't be discouraged. Don't be broken down. Don't be fearful or confused. Why? I'm with you. And I'm going to be with you wherever you go. I will be with thee. Some of the most encouraging words in the Bible. Some of you this last year had some really heartbreaking things take place in your lives. What got you through? The Lord was with you. The Lord was with you. He didn't desert you. He didn't abandon you. He didn't walk away from you. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 was about to enter the promised land, a land that meant conflict. In a land that meant conquering. Yet God gave him what he needed to find victory in the days ahead. We're entering a new year, a year that will mean conflict, and a year that will mean conquering. Yet God has given us what we need to face be your head. You have some things that you need to conquer in your life. Maybe a bad habit that needs to go. Maybe a stubborn will. You just determined to do things your way. Maybe some speech that's unbecoming of a Christian. Maybe some wrong desires. Maybe some ungodly friendships. Maybe some sinful ways. Maybe some wicked thoughts. Maybe some undisciplined living. You lack rightful priorities for the Lord. Can you have the victory? Five keys. If you follow the keys, God will give you the victory. Remember God's what? Call upon your life. What are we to remember? God's call. We're children of the King, followers of Jesus Christ. Reflect upon God's what? Promises. God has given us promises in His Word, and we can reflect upon those promises. Number three, resolve to be strong. Strong in the Lord, the power of His might. Have courage. Number three. Number four, remain close to the Lord. And then number five, realize no matter what you go through, the Lord will always be there with you. He'll always be there with you. Let's bow together in prayer.